probably most of us have heard at least one version of the parable of the blind men and the elephant, which is not in scripture, but has been widely used, especially in Eastern traditions. The basic story is that a group of blind men touch an elephant to determine what the elephant is like. Each person touches an isolated spot, and therefore each person comes up with a very narrow understanding of what an elephant is like. The one touching the leg describes the elephant as something like a tree, while the one holding the tail describes the elephant as being like a rope. The ear holder describes an elephant as being like a giant fan. Those of us looking at these individual descriptions of a very narrow experience of the whole of an elephant have the privilege of knowing how narrow and incomplete each of these individuals' reality about the elephant is. And so we can give a quick and certain assent to the belief that the blind men don't have the whole experience of the elephant. And if they did, they would certainly come to a fuller and more complete belief about what the elephant is truly like. Of course, we say, the blind men don't have the whole, only one small piece. Those poor blind men. If they only knew, if only they could see, then they would know. This parable is so appropriate that it sounds like it should be straight out of the mouth of Jesus. It's not, but it could be. Jesus tries time and again to reframe the perspective of his followers to help them see the whole picture, the big picture, the kingdom picture. Food is a very big deal for the earliest followers of Jesus, especially the early Jewish followers of Jesus. They've been taught before the first bite passed their infant lips that what you eat and how you do it matters. They weren't told you are what you eat exactly. They weren't schooled in the hazards of white sugar or educated in the deadly effects of carbohydrates. They didn't have a clue that gluten existed, much less that it could wreak havoc on the digestive systems of certain individuals. Nonetheless, they knew certain foods were taboo, off limits, not to be eaten under any circumstances. The word that was used to describe these criminal foods was unclean. Not only were these particular sources protein, things like shellfish and animals with cloven hoofs unclean, but if you dared to put one in your mouth, your whole being became unclean as well. If you ate one shrimp or snatched a bite of pork from the local pagan barbecue, you were totally and completely unclean. God would not accept you. Jesus' followers knew this, just like they knew the Shema, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one." And here Jesus is today talking to the crowd, telling them what you eat or how you wash your hands is not the thing that makes you defiled or unclean. Jesus says, listen and understand. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles. It's what is inside that is the problem, not something that just goes through your body. It's what is at your core, who you are, that determines whether you are clean or unclean. And no time at all, Jesus is faithful, rush up to him, and they say, do you know that the Pharisees took offense at what you said? Of course he knew. He knew that they were the keepers of the law, and they would not be happy with this update. Their job was keepers of the law, and clearly saying that this law didn't address the whole picture would make the Pharisees very unhappy. The Pharisees didn't like Jesus. They didn't like what he had to say. They didn't want to hear what he said that would make them uncomfortable. They had their piece of the elephant, and that was all they needed. Thank you very much. Oddly, Jesus then encounters a brash Canaanite woman, a rude, annoying, obnoxious, demanding Canaanite woman. All those things add up to bad news, especially for Jesus' inner sanctum of God-fearing Jewish men. Now, they're the ones that make the rules. And the rules say, no foreign loud-mouthed woman get near Jesus. That would just be wrong. He's the teacher. He's the leader of this group. The woman approaches, growing louder, audaciously yelling to him in words, acknowledging his Jewish heritage, his lineage back to David. The inner protectors say, get rid of her. And he seems to agree initially. Nothing good can happen here. She's not our kind. She's not one of us. We need her to just go away. But she doesn't. She persists in her begging, and she persists in her audacity. And ultimately, Jesus' eyes are open to a new reality. She is worthy. She is faithful. She is a person in need of help he can provide, and he does. Who is it that we wish would just go away? Who is it that's demanding our attention that we just don't want to see? Given recent news in Missouri and Iraq and Israel, it's evident that there is more division in our world than we want to acknowledge. Who do you wish would just go away? On a more immediate and personal level, is there someone that sends you off each time he or she walks into the room? Is there someone whose very presence just aggravates you? It's been said that the attributes of those who aggravate us the most are attributes that reveal something about ourselves that we don't like. So rather than immediately being on edge around those that annoy us, can we see these encounters as opportunities for learning? Can we take a deep breath, reframe that moment, and ask ourselves, what do I have to learn from this person? What does God want me to learn from this person? I remember the many, many years I spent in classrooms. There was always at least one person who seemed to derive great pleasure of belaboring a point. Either a real issue that arose in classroom discussion or a literal point that the teacher or professor had not given this individual on the test, and they deemed themselves worthy of that one point. Those folks drove me nuts. They made me want to shake them or scream for them to shut up or storm out in an act of defiance for having wasted my precious time. Being the introvert who really never wants to draw attention to herself, I always sat quietly at my desk and fumed as my blood pressure elevated to near stroke level. What could I have learned from these folks? To stand up for myself, maybe? To take each issue and each detail more seriously? To be willing to actually stand up for issues that I believe in and not sit by quietly fuming? Maybe just those, maybe more. Jesus gives us the example of learning from those who make us uncomfortable, those we wish would just go away. There are all sorts of crises in our world that I wish would just go away, but they won't, at least not without someone who cares enough to take a stand, to work for what is right no matter the personal cost. Yesterday, several of us went to the bridge to a lecture at the Methodist Church. The topic was human trafficking, and the talk was very similar to one I heard earlier in the summer at Canoga. It was a story of a woman who'd been in the midst of the trafficking, who'd been part of the traffic. We wish the story was not true. We wish that people were not caught up in horribly destructive situations. We wish this whole situation would just go away. We try to make ourselves better by blaming those caught up in the seedier sides of life. She shouldn't have run away from home at such an early age. She always was a bad girl. She's in it for the drugs. In the first talk I heard this summer, the words of Shauna rang true. She said, "No little girl ever dreams of growing up to be a prostitute." That's true. Our world is broken. And unless we are part of the change, we are part of the problem. We wish that all that is wrong and ugly and hard and painful and bad would just go away. We don't want that pain on ourselves. We don't want to get that messiness and ugliness all over us. We're holding on tightly to our piece of the elephant, and we're not going to let it go. If we follow Jesus, we must let our piece of the elephant go and open ourselves to the reality and the entirety of that elephant. Trunk to tail. The parts we like, the parts we hate, the parts we wish would just go away. We have much to learn. Some of the learning will be wonderful and awe-inspiring, and some of the learning will be hard and even painful. But we must look in the eyes of those people and those issues that we wish would just go away. We need to be willing to learn and to grow. Amen.